I find myself looking forward to these conversations every Tuesday because it's an opportunity for us to kind of get inside that sector of our community that is growing, that provides so much to the local economy. Story just the other day talking about our region having one of the highest concentrations of tech workers in the entire world. So every Tuesday at 12:30, we do this little thing called the Tech Spotlight. And joining us today is Adam Rumenek, who's the founder and CEO of OxMode. Adam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you very much for making time for us. What do you do at OxMode?
So we're in the digital rights management space. And what that means is we work on streaming platforms and we help companies protect their content from misuse, which is a nice way of saying theft, I guess. and we manage their libraries of content on these streaming platforms.
Right, because, you know, you did put it in a nice way, and I appreciate that. But the reality is, I think, Adam, a lot of folks, particularly who might be novices, let's say, to YouTube or other streaming platforms, think if they find something online, they can just repurpose it for in their own ways online. And that is absolutely not the case here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of people, you know, it's concert season in Toronto, and people go to these concerts and record it on their little devices and then upload it to YouTube. And I'm sure, you know, Rage Against the Machine didn't give them permission to do that for free on YouTube.
Right. So is this, I always find it interesting when companies start up in our tech sector, like there's always some level of disruption that somebody is looking to create with, you know, changing the way we've long done something or, you know, identifying a problem and finding a way to fix it. It sounds like the latter in your case, but what was sort of that light bulb moment for you in starting up OxMode?
You know, for us, it wasn't like I woke up one day and said, hey, this is what I want to do. We were performing a lot of services and built a piece of software to help our internal staff do some work without them, kind of leaving us because they were doing a lot of like Excel work and large data merging and stuff that sooner or later the files were getting so large that the only way to solve the problem was either come up with a solution so people didn't have to do Excel work, which is quite boring, and then move it into the cloud. And then lo and behold, when we started on like, say, YouTube, you know, 10 years ago almost, the files were small and YouTube was big, but now it's a lot bigger. Files grew, so you can only do it in the cloud because you needed that type of processing and RAM availability. And then our staff was happy because we went to the cloud with our, you know, software solution. So we built it as an in-house tool that ended up being the main tool that we're now selling our customers.
It's funny. So what, necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would just, like, when we were, like, kind of like a startup and I was, you know, working on the kitchen and everybody was sitting around, I was just seeing people being, you know, unhappy doing their job. So we just built it to solve a problem in-house and then realized, what are we doing all these services for? We should be actually, you know, that was the, you know, the light bulb moment when we're a product company, not a service company anymore, and let's push managing large libraries on streaming platforms using our software instead of, you know, Excel.
So who are your primary customers, Adam?
Originally we started with influencers and a lot of YouTubers and social media people, but then our main target market today is TV and film studios and the music industry. People who own intellectual property rights, who own their IP is who we go after.
So did you create like a piece of programming, a piece of software that would scour the internet for these people's intellectual property?
No, what we built, so what happened is on YouTube, it's almost like a fingerprint.
Right.
Once you upload a piece of software, it takes a fingerprint of it and it looks for matching software. The product that we created is the solution to the problem that occurred with that software that Google built. And what it is once you start having and finding all these problems on YouTube, how do you solve the problem? Like, what's the solution? So once you find out that your song has been stolen 10 million times, or the movie, you know, the next Leo DiCaprio movie is probably stolen a billion times. What do you do? And then how do you report that correctly? How do you organize the data? We have a patent on our software that does large data merging to figure out how to solve these issues of who gets what revenue from the advertising on, say, YouTube. YouTube's an advertising platform, so people generate revenue on this platform. What happens is, how do you figure out who gets what revenue? Because remember, every time something's watched on YouTube, it's a penny of a penny. The more views it gets, the more pennies it gets. So how do you allocate that revenue correctly? So what we help with is financial reporting with all that misused content. So having large libraries of content causes large problems.
It's absolutely fascinating to me. And so too is one of the other things you said a moment ago, and that is sitting around the kitchen table. From the kitchen table to where you are today, Adam, how straight was that line?
I can honestly say I made every mistake in the book. That's a cliche. It wasn't straight at all. I wish I had advisors at the kitchen table. I probably would have saved a lot of time. It's been a roller coaster. At the beginning, we hired everybody and, you know, paid nothing. And now we only hire industry experts. And we have a much smaller team now than we did then. And we just really look to work with people, at least I do, who are much better at me at their job. But it was such a roller coaster. And then so much ahead that's going to be part of the ride and the journey and all that stuff.
So what does it mean to a company like yours to have the support and really the ecosystem that exists through Communitech and here in the region of Waterloo?
Well, they help, you know, a lot of what I said just previously about the problems ahead. I guess there's a lot of leaders who work there and a lot of people who have built, you know, from ground up and have a solid foundation to draw on when helping me decide on which path to take. So having the community to help with those decisions in the end is invaluable, because like I said before, you know, the stage that we're at, if I knew to get advisors day one thinking, oh, I could just podcast everything, like I'm always podcasting, and I'll get my answer. Yeah, that solves the answer for the person on the podcast, not my answer. But having a community to draw on and like hear the whole story and kind of like sit with you for year after year and understanding where you are at your particular growth journey is invaluable, in my opinion.
You know, and when you talk, it's a little bit tangential to the conversation, but when you mention things like podcasting and what we're doing here is looking at these various streaming platforms, those content creators too, I think a lot of people anticipate, you know, I'm going to create this podcast and I'm going to post it and all of a sudden the money is going to start just flowing in. You already talked earlier about the pennies of a penny here. It's a lot of work to monetize that content, isn't it?
Oh yeah. So it's incredibly hard to generate, like make a living off these platforms. There are, you know, over a million people with a million subscribers on YouTube alone. So they've hit big milestones, but it's like being an actress or an actor. It's like, you know, it takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication and focus to do it. But, you know, that's why we kind of work with TV and film, because some people, you know, become an influencer and maybe it's a hobby and not a job. And we tend to work with people who take it more seriously. So, and it is, you know, becomes adjacent to their existing revenue streams. And then all of a sudden streaming becomes like the number one, especially in the last 2 years of COVID. Streaming has done quite well. And as you know, there's platforms popping up like Disney Plus didn't exist 2 years ago. And now it's out there and there are new ones coming down the pipeline. So these corporations know that it's not going anywhere. It's just going to get bigger. And those pennies, the difference is, you know, when you have regional distribution for, you know, television or film is one thing. The internet's global. We're talking billions of people here, not, you know, regional. Like even if you got all of Canada, what would you get? 37 million people?
You talked about the last couple of years and the increase in streaming. Did that change your business model or your business in any way?
For us, it did. We just saw a huge volume of inbound, which was good. No company ever complains about, you know, not having to go on the road to make sales. And then once you have multi-platforms, it makes it even easier to capitalize for your existing customers because, you know, we make sure that nobody, you know, we always suggest nobody signs exclusive deals. You can sell the same piece of content to Netflix, Disney Plus, give it away for free on YouTube, AVOD. And then all of a sudden you have a very large revenue stream coming in from streaming platforms, which is great for the, you know, the individual content producer.
Right. Where can people find out more about the company, Adam?
Normally I tell everybody to go to our website, auxmode.com, auxmode.com. And we're up and running. If anybody needs any information and wants to see us in action, do a demo.
It's a great story. I love hearing all about it and appreciate you making time for the show today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. And I appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Adam Rumenek is the founder and CEO at Auxmode. Not aux like the animal. Aux as in short for auxiliary. So for a radio geek like me, right up my alley. Auxmode.com. AUXmode.com. Super interesting stuff. I just love the whole idea. Sitting around that kitchen table, identifying a problem within your organization and then realizing, oh, wait a minute. This can be scaled outside of the organization. And all of a sudden, it's not services, it's things that they're making. Auxmode, auxmode.com, if you're curious to learn more. That is our Tuesday Tech Spotlight. This is City News 570.